First, I would like to wish a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in our parish. And today is also the Sunday within the octave of the Assumption. Now, the epistle is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 4. Dearly beloved, be prudent and watch in prayers. But before all things, have a constant mutual charity among yourselves, for charity covereth a multitude of sins, using hospitality one toward another without murmuring, as every man hath received grace, ministering the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the words of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the power which God administereth, that in all things God may be honored through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Paraclete cometh, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceedeth from the Father, he shall give testimony of me. And you shall give testimony, because you are with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized. They will put you out of the synagogues, yea, the hour cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth a service to God. And these things will they do to you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the hour shall come, you may remember that I told you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. My delights were to be with the children of men. Now therefore, ye children, hear me. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Words taken from the book of Proverbs. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, reading through the many apparitions of Our Lady to mankind, I do not know of any other apparition that is more tender and sweet, more motherly, than the apparition of our Blessed Mother at Guadalupe. On Saturday, December 9th, 1531, a pious middle-aged man was on his way to attend Mass in Mexico City. This man, Juan Diego, lived about 15 miles away from the chapel. Yet despite being 57 years old and a humble peasant, with only his own 2 feet to bring him there, still Juan was on his way. In the midst of the 15 miles, he drew near a hill called Tepeyac Hill. There in the valley beside it, he heard heavenly music and beheld a glorious, brilliant light atop it. And then an even more heavenly and glorious voice called out, "Juanito, Juan Dieguito." In English, this means, "My little Juan, little Juan Diego." Now, I don't know how tall Juan really was, but it doesn't matter, because his height, or lack thereof, is not why Our Lady called him this title. In the Aztec language, which Mary was speaking, little meant dear. "My dear Juan," Juan Diego heard, come from that resplendent light, and he turned and saw a young maiden standing amidst this radiance. This young lady wore clothing common to the Aztecs. Even her features resembled his people's. But everything about her, every detail, was resplendent. Juan recognized he was before someone majestic, and so he bowed before this loveliest of all that is lovely lady. And then that same melodious voice sounded again, "Juanito, least of my sons, where art thou going?" Juanito, she called him again, the same form a mother would call her son. However, Juan must have seen how, while so majestic, this lady still appeared very young herself, far younger than his own 57 years. And so he called her, "My lady, and my child. Then told her he was on his way to Mass and to receive instruction from the priest. Know and take heed, thou, the least of my sons, the Lady said to Juan, that I am Holy Mary, ever virgin, mother of the true God, for whom we live, the creator of all the world, maker of heaven and earth. Mary then told Juan why she appeared to him. I urgently desire that a temple should be built to me here, to bear witness to my love, my compassion, my succor, and protection. For I am a merciful mother to thee and to all thy fellow people on this earth who love me and trust me and invoke my help. I listen to their lamentations and solace all their sorrows and their suffering. Then Our Lady bid Juan to go to the Bishop of Mexico City, the first bishop of South America, and tell him of her desire that here in the valley a temple should be built in her honor. My lady and my child, Juan immediately answered, I will gladly go to accomplish your will. With this assurance, let me take leave of you, my little daughter, my child, and my lady. Rest quietly in the meanwhile until I come again. Off Juan went to see the bishop, but the bishop's servants did not treat him kindly. They tried to turn Juan away and then made him wait, but eventually this humble man finally did see the bishop and told him of the vision. I saw a great light shining behind the summit of the hill. I thought it was the sunrise. Instead, it was the Blessed Virgin. At this incredible news, the bishop, with the caution of the church, which it always takes towards reports of visions, thanked Juan for coming to tell him this, but to return another time when the bishop had more time himself. Juan Diego, while disappointed, he humbly obeyed, and he returned to the hill where Mary was waiting for him. My lady, least of my daughters and my child, I went where you sent me and obeyed your orders. I delivered your message exactly as you told me. The bishop received me kindly, but when he answered me, it seemed as if he did not believe me. There was a series now of visits to the bishop, and then Juan going back to Our Lady to report his new failure, and then returning to rest back at home. But let us go to one of the most endearing parts of all. Juan found his uncle was sick, and so he spent the entire night taking care of him. And that next morning, he went back to Mexico City to find a priest. However, when he drew near to Tepeyac Hill, where he had met Our Lady, he feared the delay stopping to see Our Lady would cause. And so he went around the hill to avoid seeing her. But as mothers do, Mary knew that. And so instead of avoiding her, he found her at the foot of the hill again. And she called out to him, "What is the matter, least of my sons? Where art thou going?" Juan then asked the Mother of God, "O my lady and my child, did you sleep well?" And then he told her about his uncle and how sick he was. The Blessed Mother, again, as any mother would, began to chide Juan, "Listen and take heed. There is nothing which thou needst dread. Let not thy heart be troubled. Am I not beside thee, I, thy merciful mother? Am I not thy hope and thy salvation? Of what more dost thou have need?" Our Lady then promised him that his uncle was safe and healed. And then she bid Juan to go to the top of the hill and gather roses that miraculously grew there in the midst of the winter. These were part of the proof for the bishop that Mary truly appeared to Juan. But before her dear son could bring them to the bishop, Our Lady told her Juan to return back to her. He had to return to her because flower arrangement is not a skill that Juan, like most men, had. And so the Blessed Virgin Mary rearranged the flowers in his tilma for him, taking care of even this little service so tenderly and so sweetly. Soon Juan returned to the bishop, and the famous scene occurred of Juan showing the roses, only to find the miraculous self-portrait of Our Lady of Guadalupe hidden under the flowers. In this entire vision, my dear faithful, from the affection evident in her words to the kindness and humility in her actions, the Queen of Heaven showed herself a devoted mother. They proved the truth of her declaration, "I am a merciful mother to thee and to all thy fellow people here on this earth." And as any mother would, Mary urges us to love her and trust her and invoke her help, for she listens to our lamentations and solaces all our sorrow and suffering. Is that not what mothers are most known for? After God, who is closer to us than the woman who gave us life, who nurtured and taught us as a child, and who sacrificed her time, her attention, herself for us? And when their child suffers, while the father oftentimes takes the place of defender, mothers are generally the first to comfort their child. And why do mothers so willingly sacrifice so much for their children? It is much the same as that quote from the book of Proverbs, which I quoted before, and which the Church applies to Our Lady in the epistle of the Immaculate Conception. "My delights were to be with the children of men." In other words, mothers and Our Lady herself love their children. Their children's happiness is their own happiness. And of course, justice demands that we give a return. Our mother's happiness must be our happiness as well. We must be devoted to them, both to our earthly mother and, of course, to our heavenly mother. We must show them that we love them. For our earthly mothers, that means praying for her, spending time with her, talking to her, doing something kind for her. Throughout life, there should be no coldness between a child and his mother. If there is, we must strive to root it out and sacrifice ourselves, sacrifice our feelings for her, just as she sacrificed herself for us. And of course, for our heavenly mother, who sacrificed and allowed our Lord to die on the cross for us, let us pray to her, spend time with her each and every day, and do something kind for her in return. At this apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe, Mary, the Mother of God, appeared to Juan Diego to ask for a temple to be built in her honor. She did this so that a spiritual temple in her honor would also be built in each of the hearts of her children. Let us each day, my dear faithful, enshrine Mary in our hearts. Just as she so tenderly and sweetly declared herself our mother, let us prove we are her children. In these ways, my dear faithful, make a return to your heavenly mother and your earthly mother by giving them your time, your love, your heart. Love your mothers, my dear faithful, on this Mother's Day and every day. Pray to your heavenly mother and pray for your earthly mother. Spend time with them and give them your love. And always remember that Our Lady watches over you, for she has said, I am a merciful mother to thee and to all thy fellow people on this earth who love me and trust me and invoke my help. May God bless you, and may you have a happy and most blessed Mother's Day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.